The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 5, text number 20, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Hadhikari, recorded on November 5th, 2007, in Sofia, Bulgaria.
So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 5, text number 20. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Na prahrishyet priyam prapya,
nodvijet prapya chapriyam,
stirabudhirasangmudho, brahmavid brahmanistitaha.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. A person who neither rejoices upon achieving something pleasant, nor laments upon obtaining something unpleasant, who is self-intelligent, who is unbewildered, and who knows the science of God, is already situated in transcendence. Purport. The symptoms of the self-realized person are given herein. The first symptom is that he is not illusioned by the false identification of the body with his true self. He knows perfectly well that he is not this body, but is the fragmental portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is therefore not joyful in achieving something, nor does he lament in losing anything which is related to his body. This steadiness of mind is called sthira buddhi, or self-intelligence. He is therefore never bewildered by mistaking the gross body for the soul, nor does he accept the body as permanent and disregard the existence of the soul. This knowledge elevates him to the station of knowing the complete science of the Absolute Truth, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. He thus knows his constitutional position perfectly well, without falsely trying to become one with the Supreme in all respects. This is called Brahman realization, or self-realization. Such steady consciousness is called Krishna consciousness.
Mandeham Shri Guru Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha.
So, the state of self-realization is being described here. One has to be equipoised. Sometimes in this world, we get something pleasant. If we are carried away by that pleasant something, then we lose our equilibrium. And sometimes we achieve something very unpleasant. If we become bewildered by that unpleasant situation, then once again we lose our state of equilibrium. Equilibrium means you're equally disposed to everything, pleasant and unpleasant both. The material nature is such that at 1 second things can be very pleasing. And within 1 second later, it can be very displeasing. And another second later, it can be pleasing again. This material nature is very, very, very unsteady. It's like an ocean with choppy waves. We're being buffeted or thrown about in these waves constantly. But a Krishna conscious person does not let these waves of happiness and distress agitate his mind. He remains completely steady in all circumstances of happiness and distress. This is called self-intelligent. He realizes, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. And that everything that is coming to me is the mercy of Krishna. It may be a so-called good thing. It may be a so-called bad thing. But because everything that's coming to me is the mercy of Krishna, everything that's coming is actually good. Therefore, he's always happy. He's never morose. He's always enlivened. He's never at a loss of energy. Such a person is unbewildered. He knows the science of God, and he's already situated in transcendence. So, does that describe us now? Are we there? Are we in that state of equilibrium? Or are we sometimes pleased and sometimes very displeased? I see everybody is acknowledging that we're all fallen. Yes, we are. We're all what they call basket cases. I mean, we're a mess. Each and every one of us. You're a mess. I'm a mess. We're all a mess. That's our position. So how do we get out of this embarrassing position that we're in right now? How do we come to the enlightened platform described in this verse? Is it just luck that somebody gets it and somebody doesn't? Or is it just work? You just have to make the endeavor and you can get there by your own strength. Actually, it's neither of those. It's the mercy of Krishna, manifested through the form of the spiritual master. And it's how much you take advantage of that guru's mercy. As I described recently, ye yatamang prapadyante tangst taiva bhajamyaham. Inasmuch as they surrender to me, I reward them accordingly. There's unlimited mercy available for you. How much are you taking of it? The rain is falling everywhere. But when it falls on the rock, it just rolls off, you see. When it falls on the soil, it's absorbed. So what sort of consciousness do you have? Do you have a stone-like consciousness where the mercy just rolls off and it doesn't get absorbed? Or do you have an earth-like consciousness that absorbs the mercy? Actually, we're right now in a mixed position. We have some earth and stone-like qualities mixed together. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here at the Bhagavad Gita class. We have some earth-like consciousness qualities, you see. That's why we're here. But we're still here, and we're not in Golok because we still have some rock things too. But what is earth? It's rocks that are simply broken down, actually. Yeah. So we have to break down the rocks. Just like today, for my breakfast, one of the disciples, they took the coarse sugar and they made it finer, wasn't it? They ground it up somehow or another. Somebody made the sugar more fine. So with the rock-like qualities in our heart, they have to be, we have to grind them down to become like earth. The hard qualities in the heart. Do you know what are the hard qualities in the heart? Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. You don't know these qualities? How many bhakti shastras do we have here? One. You know the six qualities. Oh, you're not bhakti shastri yet. Haitiki bhakti is a bhakti shastri degree. Everybody should become bhakti shastri. You can get it through the internet also. If you don't have classes in your temple, you can get it on the internet. Bhakti shastri degree. VIHE in Vrindavan. So anyway, everyone should become bhakti shastri and learn the philosophy in detail. Learn what are the six enemies. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy. Kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. You see, you should be knowing these things. This is your science of bhakti. So, these qualities have to be purified. Instead of becoming lusty for sense enjoyment, we must have a strong desire to please our spiritual master. Instead of being angry over our loss of sense gratification, we should be angry that the Vaishnavas and the Lord are being offended all the time on this planet. Instead of being greedy for material gain, we should be greedy to offer the whole material world to Krishna. Instead of being illusion to think that I'm the body, we should become enlightened with transcendental knowledge that I'm not the body, I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. instead of becoming maddened by the pursuit of sense pleasure, we should become mad after Krishna. That I want Krishna, and Krishna, and Krishna, and Krishna, and Krishna. I want Krishna, 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 Krishna. Become a madman for Krishna. Give me Krishna. When we go to the store, we should say, "Do you have Krishna? Where is Krishna? I want to buy Krishna." Prabhupada said that. He said, nothing to purchase except for Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. That I don't want to hear anything unless it's related with Krishna. I don't want to see anything unless it's related with Krishna. I don't want to do anything except unless it's related with Krishna. So if you ask me to play basketball, I'm going to ask, what does it have to do with pleasing Krishna? And I'm going to say, forget your hoop and your ball. I want nothing to do with it. Because it has nothing to do with Krishna. I want to do everything for the pleasure of Krishna 24 hours a day. You see? That's called becoming mad after Krishna. And the last item is envy. We were envious that why Krishna should be the supreme. Why Krishna gets to have all those beautiful girlfriends while I have to be a brahmachari. You see, this is called envy. So, we should understand that by becoming the servant of Krishna, we can enjoy equally as well as Krishna. In fact, we can enjoy better than Krishna. So, if one person has $1 million, I will become envious. So he's a millionaire. I don't have, you know, if I don't have $1 million, so I'll become envious. But if I have $1 billion, will I envy his $1 million? No, I won't envy his $1 million. Because I have more than he does. So why should somebody become envious of God? When they can enjoy on a higher level than God. You may say, how is it possible to enjoy on a higher level than God? But it's a fact. When Krishna sees Radharani, he says, what is this? This is my devotee. She is serving me and I am enjoying her service. But I can see she is enjoying serving me more than I'm enjoying being served by her. Krishna doesn't like to be outdone. Krishna thinks this isn't fair. Somebody's getting more enjoyment than me and I'm the Supreme Lord. So Krishna will not be outdone. He says, I will also taste this pleasure of Radharani. Radharani is Gaurangi. Angi means limbs, the body, you see. And Gaura is golden complexion. She is a beautiful girl with golden limbs, Gaurangi. So Krishna becomes Gauranga. So he can taste the pleasure of Radharani. So what does it mean to become Gauranga? It means that Krishna decides, I will be a Hare Krishna devotee. So that means being a Hare Krishna devotee is more blissful than being Krishna. So why you should be envious of Krishna? If you become a Hare Krishna devotee, you can enjoy more than Krishna. So there's no question of envy. You simply have to become a devotee, that's all. And then you enjoy on a higher level than God. So in this way, by smashing down these rocks and pulverizing them into dirt, this kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madamatsaya, lust, anger, greed, illusion, madness, and envy, then your heart will become completely receptive to the mercy of Krishna. It won't roll off of you. You will absorb it 100%. And then you will become situated in transcendental self-realization as described in this verse, 520. So this is our invitation to you. We are traveling all over the world to introduce this science. And now we have come to you for a few days in Sofia. And we hope that you will take advantage of this knowledge. I'm not happy to see this temple so empty. Every morning and evening it should be packed with devotees, eager to hear this message, eager to speak this message, eager to sing and dance, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So my request is that all of you should preach very nicely and hold regular programs here and encourage everyone to come regularly to the programs here. So this place will become overflowing with bhakti, like a transcendental beehive, oozing with honey, oozing with bhakti. It is a nice house. They are nice deities. Everything is nice. But it's empty. That makes my heart cry. Please come here every day and every evening and fill this house with bhakti. Everyone come. Especially while I'm here. I've spent so much money and trouble. Mataji and I have come here. But now in the classes of we're seeing very few devotees are coming. It breaks my heart. Please come. Tell your friends to come. Bring everyone. Especially the evening class when people are home from work. Let everyone come. Why are they not coming? Are they watching television or what's going on? Fill the house up with devotees every night. That is my request. So, are there any questions? Yeah.
Gurudev, you mentioned a devotee enjoys more than Krishna. Radharani is actually enjoying more than Krishna. But we cannot, no one can exceed Radharani's devotion to Krishna. So in that sense, we cannot exceed Radharani's devotion to Krishna.
You don't have to. It's not required. You can assist Radharani. How can you assist Radharani? She wants that everyone should become Krishna's devotee. If you will preach and make devotees, then you will taste the sweetest nectar. Next question.
сутрешната лекция Шрила Гурудев каза, че една кръщност, една тая личност се чувства ентусиазирана еднакво да служи навсякъде. Обаче аз като дойде тук, се чувствам малко по-ентусиазирана. Това е защото тук практикувам по-добре кришна съзнание или не?
In the morning lecture, you said that a Krishna conscious person feels
better.
Yeah. In the morning lecture, you have mentioned that a Krishna conscious person, it's all the same where he serves Krishna. But he says that when he comes here in Sofia in the temple, he feels more enthusiastic to serve.
Yes.
Why? Because here he's Krishna conscious.
Because this helps you to connect with your inner nature. So you should take the inspiration you've gained here and carry it with you wherever you go. Try to retain the inspiration. Always keep it alive in your heart. That's the key. This is a place to get inspired and to carry the inspiration to your own town. It's not that you can't taste the same nectar in your own town. You can. If you have to simply become as intensely absorbed in Krishna consciousness as you are when you're here. Is Krishna omnipresent or is he not omnipresent? Krishna is just as much in Burgas as he is here in Sofia. You simply have to connect with him, that's all. By intense devotion. Next question. Yeah.
When I was coming here, I had experience that matches to this text we are hearing tonight. I was in a bus taxi full of many people.
Taxi?
Bus taxi.
Bus.
Oh, okay.
Taxi, but full with many, many people.
And coming here tonight?
No. No. It was just and I was feeling a little unpleasant. And
when was this?
Today,
when I was coming here.
Oh, okay.
And then I got the idea that I'm not this body and I feel a little more present. But it was still an unpleasant experience to be with so many people who pressed you, and they were just coming more and more, and the taxi was already full. And my question is, what can I do in this situation?
You chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Just go deep within. Deep, 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 deep.
Всъщност ситуацията, в която като идвала на тук, бе претъпкана маршрутка и всички го натискали и как сега да какво да направи? Много неприятна ситуация. Трябва да изпявам Харе Кришна, да влиза дълбоко, дълбоко, дълбоко навътре в себе си.
Just like you're in the desert, how will you get water in the desert?
Както в пустинята, как се здобиваш с вода там?
Everywhere there's dry sand. But if you dig a well, you see, if you go deep, 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 deep under the surface of the desert, eventually you will hit water. So if you chant Hare Krishna and your mind is still disturbed, does that mean you should stop chanting? No, you should chant again, and this time try to go deeper into the mantra. And if you're still not tasting the nectar, then you should try going even deeper into the mantra. And if you're still not tasting the nectar, you should go even deeper into the mantra. And if you're still not tasting the nectar, you should go even deeper into the mantra. You must drill like this. Deeper, 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 deeper until you finally hit the nectar, you see. Krishna is everywhere. He's on that bus. It sounds like an Indian bus. He's on the bus, he's in the airplane, he's everywhere, in the boat, he's in the government house, he's in the grocery store, he's in the forest, he's everywhere. You simply have to learn how to connect with Krishna. A properly situated transcendentalist, he sees everything within Krishna and Krishna within everything. Do you think Krishna is not present on that bus? He was within every atom of that bus. And he was between every atom on that bus. That is the meaning of omnipresent. So it just means you are not Krishna conscious enough, that's all. If you are Krishna conscious, you can be happy anywhere, sitting and thinking about Krishna. But when you come to the temple, you shouldn't just sit and think about Krishna. You should actively do service or sing and dance in the kirtan. Both, actually. Next question. Joseph, you have any question? No? All right. Do you have any question, Manaji? No? All right. We're happy you all came. We're very happy you all came tonight. Thank you very much. Any other questions? Yeah. Yeah.
Why the situation is this, that we have temple, we have deity worship, we have spiritual master, and the temple is empty?
Temple and spiritual master, yeah, was it?
We have temple, we have deity worship, we have spiritual master preaching, and the temple is empty. Why is that?
Because people are in Maya. That's why people are in Maya. Sometimes Prabhupada gave program and nobody came. You know that?
Yeah.
Especially in the early days. One night he held class and not even one person came. So what did he do? He recorded the whole lecture on a reel-to-reel tape recorder. And that lecture has been made available for you. It's called the Introduction to the Bhagavad Gita. That's a lecture that Prabhupada gave and nobody showed up for class. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur used to say, even if nobody comes, you just preach to the four walls. So we don't depend on, for our own happiness, we do not depend on any number of followers. Our happiness depends on simply being the sincere, sold-out servant of my spiritual master. But we voluntarily accept upon our hearts the anxiety of other people who are not Krishna conscious. Just like a doctor will go to the epidemic area to treat the people who are dying from the epidemic. Devotees, Atmaram. He's enjoying like anything, just by dint of being Krishna conscious. But he voluntarily accepts the anxiety of trying to wake up the fallen conditioned souls of this Kali Yuga. So, yes, it's a disappointment to see that a nice facility is here, a spiritual master is here, the deities are here, and so many devotees are not coming. It's disappointing to see. So we have to preach in such a way that more and more people will be attracted to come. We have to become men and women of ideal character. So that people will be attracted to associate with us. Next question. He hasn't asked one yet. Gaura Chandra.
Minimum standard for worship Radha Krishna.
Well, for Radha Krishna worship, there should be at least 4 full-time Brahmins who are free to do seva throughout the day. There should be many varieties of sweets cooked on a daily basis. There should be a sewing department, many different devotees sewing outfits. So that for every major festival, there's a complete new outfit to the deities. There should be the Mangal Arati every day, 4:30 sharp. The deities should be bathed and worshipped every morning and dressed. There should be fresh flowers every day. Then there should be the darshan arti. There should be a breakfast offering. There should be a lunch offering at noontime, rajbhog offering, very nice big feast every day for the Lord. There should be a 4 o'clock arti. There should be a 6 o'clock arti. And there should be an arti about nine-ish or so before the Lord takes breath. And the Lord's outfit should be changed at night also, twice a day changing the outfits. Night outfit. So that is the standard. And once the deity worship begins, it can never stop throughout the whole life. Generation after generation, a deity worship has to go on without being interrupted. Therefore, one of my disciples should start worshipping Radha Krishna without my permission. Unless they can maintain this standard. Better just to have photographs. Because if you take deities but you don't worship them properly, then you suffer from seva aparad, reactions from seva aparad. You can study in the Nectar Devotion all the rules and regulations of deity worship. It's very, very strict. So the best thing is to concentrate on kirtan, japa and study. Keep some simple photographs. For Garnitai, there's little leniency. But unless you're prepared to have at least 3 artis every day without fail and to dress the deities every day, you shouldn't get even Garnitai deity. You already have deities? No? Yes. What kind? Garnitai. They should have 3 artis every day. So you have to think now how you can manage them. Morning, noon, and evening. Mangal Arti every day at 4:30. Otherwise, don't have deities. Deity means you have to serve them. They are persons. If you already have them, what you can do? Do your best. But don't get any more deities. Don't increase it. And then when I joined ISKCON, the temples didn't even have deities. We worshipped photographs on the temple altars. That was the standard when I joined the movement. And then after, just like in Dallas, we were worshipping a painting, an oil painting of the Panchatantra. That was the altar. And that was a major center. That was the Gurukula for the movement. And all we had was a painting, an oil painting of Panchatattva. And that was a major ISKCON center. It's only when there was a large number of full-time Brahmins available for regular seva that Prabhupada would authorize deity worship. Unfortunately now, a lot of people want to make money by selling deities, and so it's become a popular commodity, a way to make money. If the gift shops sell deities, it's a good profit for them. And the devotees are taking deities when they're not even qualified to worship them, and they get seva aparad for doing so. So my disciples, unless they have permission from me, whatever deities you have now, worship them best you can, but don't get any new deities unless you have my permission. Focus on good chanting. Focus on rising early and taking bath every day. Very good hearing and chanting. That's the most important thing. The deity worship is something to make the chanting more powerful. But if the deity worship is not done properly, then it makes it more difficult to chant. So, whatever deities are there, you must worship them as best as possible. Every day they should be bathed and dressed. And whatever you eat, you must offer to the deities. You must offer the Mangal Arti to them as early as possible with Gravastakam prayers. And since you're working all day in the greenhouse, at least you must have an evening. The lunch offering should be offered to them. Do you take lunch?
Yes, but we will cook in the morning.
Huh? Now you cook once in the morning, that's all. Well, the deities must be given that. And then you have to have something else. Once a day is not enough for Krishna. You have to have some sweets for them, or some fruits. You have to have more than one offering for the deities. Once is not enough for the Krishna. Hot milk and some fruit or something like that in the evening, you know. Krishna is a person. Lord Chaitanya is a person. If you just treat them like dolls, then your Krishna consciousness will become dead. Keep the altar very clean. Keep the temple of worship very, keep the temple very nice and clean and orderly. How many outfits do you have?
Six.
Do you change them every day? No.
Once a week.
Oh, that's not very good. Do you change your clothes only once a week? A Brahmin puts on clean clothes every day. That's Brahmin. So how you can expect Krishna to wear the same clothes every day for a week? This is why I recommend don't have deity worship unless you can really do it right. But since you already have him now, you're going to have to do something about it. I know you're working very hard at the farm. But you have to find some way to serve them better, to increase your service somehow or other. If you can't do it all at once, gradually increase it. You know what the result will be? You'll become ecstatic. Because you'll realize Lord Chaitanya is here with me right now. I'm here with Lord Chaitanya. But if you just change him once a week and only feed him once a day, he's just like an idol. You will not feel that Lord Chaitanya is present because you're not treating him as if he is present. You understand? If Lord Chaitanya actually came to your farm, would you only feed him once a day? Your guru is here in Sophia. Do you only feed him once a day? Will you give Gauranga less service than you give your guru? So if you feed your guru three times, you think you'll feed your Gauranga only once? You have to think like this. That's why I say just keep pictures. Then you don't have to worry about it. But if you have deities, you have to do something about it. You've invited Krishna to come and live in your home with you. Now you better treat him as an honored guest, or he will be offended by your misconduct. And you will suffer reactions. I have to tell the truth. It's my duty as a spiritual master. It may not be pleasant to hear, but I have to tell you the truth. Prabhupada warned us about minimizing the deity worship. He said, don't be puffed up. He said, remember, you are dealing with Krishna. He warned us about becoming neglectful in deity worship, to where we would become so offensive that we would think that old man came and he burdened us with this thing, deity worship. That old man, Prabhupada. He warned us that we could actually become that offensive. So we had to be very careful not to become puffed up. We are dealing with Krishna, the Supreme Person. Next question. Yes.
Стандарта, тогава има проблеми, да речем, дали е там, както
So the question, okay. The question is, when there are some obstacles and problems in
obstacles
and problems in deity worship, should we think that this is reaction from some offense that we have committed?
Any difficulties that we experience in any aspect of our lives, they're all due to past sinful activities. But you know what? Those difficulties, they're actually a blessing. Because we're burning off the reactions for past sinful activities, exhausting those sinful reactions. If you remain steadfast in serving your Guru Maharaj, chanting 16 rounds and following the principles, and you are not creating any new sin. So, whatever difficulties you have, that's simply exhausting your sinful reactions. If you will patiently endure those reactions and always be in the mood of offering your respects to Guru and Krishna, then quickly all of those reactions will be finished and you'll become liberated soul. Question?
Sometimes in the morning when I chant my mantra, I have thoughts, inspirational thoughts about how to serve you, how to please you. What to do with these thoughts?
Well, if you have some really, really good inspirations, you should write them down. And then go back to your chanting. If you really have an incredible realization, go, wow. Then write it down on a piece of paper and then go, and then leave it aside and go back to your chanting. If you really have, but if it's just some, you know, random thoughts that are not that great, you should just focus on the name and let them go away, you know. But if you have a flash inspiration, the most wonderful realization of how you can please your spiritual master, write it down and then go back to your chanting. So we just have 2 minutes left. Our time is up. Does anyone have any last question?
He has recently been in Barcelona, Madrid, and he has seen that temples there are also empty.
Where?
Barcelona, Madrid.
Barcelona, okay.
Temples there are also empty.
Okay. ISKCON temple?
Yeah.
Okay.
He is very sad to see this.
Yeah.
His question is, what's the problem? Why?
Because we're not preaching enough, that's why. We're not setting the ideal example enough, that's another reason. We should all become ideal acharyas. And we should preach to everyone we meet. And then the temples won't be big enough, they'll be overflowing with people every night. We have what everyone's looking for. People are miserable here in Sofia. They're the most miserable people. And we have the most wonderful thing, Krishna consciousness. Why they're not coming? Because we're not preaching sufficiently. Nor is our practice sufficient to attract people. We need to increase the quality of our practice, and we have to increase the quality and quantity of our preaching work. It's our fault. It's your fault. Because you're not a pure devotee. And you're not preaching sufficiently. So everyone has to feel it's our fault. And we should see what we can do to improve it. Let me become a better devotee. You see? And let me see how I can increase my preaching more and more. By doing this, then if everyone does that, it becomes very exciting. I've been in temples. I remember situations where I went to one city to join one household or couple who were preaching there. There was only three of us in a little tiny apartment. And we went out, all three of us were very fired up preachers. And then within 1 year, we had 25 full-time devotees, and we bought a temple building. And within 1 year, we purchased two buildings with a big piece of land and a huge parking lot. And we had 25 full-time devotees living in the temple. Within 1 year, there was only three of us. So get fired up. Preach. Make a revolution. The only anxiety you have to worry about losing is your own. The only thing you have to worry about losing is your anxiety. You'll gain everything else. All happiness will be yours. Okay, so now we will stop. So, thank you very much. Raja Vidra Srimad Bhagavad Gita Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.